You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bertie Corbett, pleased to be joined on our men's side this week by the head coach of the defending national champions from Quinnipiac, Rand Pecknold. Rand, welcome. I've been interviewing you on a regular basis, I think, for about 15 of your 29 years. This is the first time that I'm going to formally interview you as part of the pantheon of coaches that have won the national championship. So I just wanted to acknowledge. I thought we've been talking to each other for a long time. I wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah, thank you. No, it was it was a great moment for me personally and certainly for Quinnipiac.
Well, I guess the first question is, before we talk about this season, what was the off season like? I mean, there's the whole, going to Disney World effect of the national championship and all that accompanies a championship season. What was the experience like for you? That there's no preparation for it. It happens. And then suddenly it happens as far as what it was like in a, I'm sure, a very unique off season for you.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was just chaos. But some got to do some pretty cool things. You know, we got the whole team to Fenway and threw a pitch at, on a Red Sox
right.
game. That was good. Rang the bell for the New York Stock Exchange. That was crazy. That was way better than I thought going into it. At first I was like, oh, okay. And then I got there and it was unbelievable. Went to the White House. So there was a lot of other smaller things too, a lot of other activities and stuff, with the trophy and a lot of charity events and, a lot of stuff with kids and stuff. So, but it was a fast summer. It was chaos, but, I'm not complaining.
No complaints. That's all. It comes with the territory. It goes along with it. And all those things, nationally, regionally, the White House, it doesn't get any bigger if you're a champion in this country, but, there had to have been a moment or maybe other, several moments where you were with, let's say, the hardcore group, that supported Bobcat hockey. Did you have some of those moments along the way with the people that have been part of this program? I mean, you talked about it that night. You said, I think we said something to the effect of, my first office was a broom closet.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sure there must have been moments along the way where there were people that have been with you and been part of this this journey for a long time that must have been very special.
Yeah, there was a lot that were in Tampa and then a lot that I saw afterwards. And but yeah, the journey was crazy. Those early years with the midnight practices, and actually I started no office at first. Year two, I got the broom closet, which we couldn't fit. Me and my two assistants, who were both volunteers, basically, we couldn't fit in there. One would fit, and the other two would have to sit in the hallway. So we'd stack the chairs, have to bring the chairs out in the hall. It was crazy. just the stuff that we went through with no. We didn't have a phone. We didn't have computers. That was even before cell phones weren't really around. They were just starting to come in. But yeah, it's amazing the path that we had to take to get where we were or get to our accomplishment. But, certainly was an enjoyable journey.
And noticeable as you get back out on the road in anticipation of this season, as far as the reaction, the cachet, the impact that it had to, now it's, well, hello, I'm coach of the, Quinnipiac, your assistant coaches, that we're a national championship program. And just kind of the fact of arrival, if you will, you want to stay there, but the fact that you've arrived and you've got that on your resume is a pretty important chip.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's nice for our coaching staff, for the university, for our players. I mean, it's a life-changing event for our players. I mean, they will never forget that. It's going to be one of their highlights of their life, not the only highlight. They're certainly pretty successful and going to have a lot more things to come. It definitely changes things. We've had a pretty good run here over the last 10, 12, 13 years of being a top 10 program. And, we've been close before. This was our third time in that championship game. So it was just crazy nice to finally win it.
Indeed, it certainly was memorable. And turning the page now, and of course, you look back, and I know coaches have a tendency, the coach's mentality, as it should be, when you hear the term defending, I've many coaches refute that. Hey, we're not defending anything. It's all new. It's all different. And you've been jumped really right back when you consider the way that this season has gone, right back into the fire. Just taking a look at the body of work so far. A tough loss, obviously, and a hard-fought loss on opening night to a Boston College team with some great young talent, and maybe indicative of the fact that the success of your program, as you mentioned, particularly over the last decade of being a team that's in the NCAA tournament in the picture every year, there is a bullseye of a certain size, but that bullseye is going to be, I think, exponentially bigger this year for your team.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess, but it's been pretty big the last couple of years. I mean, teams get fired up to playoffs. You know, when you're ranked anywhere in that top 10, let alone top five, teams are, you know, goalies are excited to play against you. Players are excited to play against you. You know, they know there's tons of NHL scouts in the fans and stands every game that we play, coming to watch our free agents. We've got some of the best ones in the country. So I don't know if it's exponential, Bernie. It's already been pretty big the last little while.
Sure.
You know, for us, like we got almost half our guys are new, so it's been hard. You know, it's an adjustment. We got to bring guys along. I think we have 12 new players out of our 26, so 12 new and 14 returners. And you know, we got some growing pains here right now, but we're on the right path, and we just got to keep, you know, grinding along. And we're not fully at our identity yet, but I think at some point we will be. And once we get to that point, we'll start to win a lot of hockey games.
Got the once again loss to a Boston College team that's very, very highly thought of, particularly with their great young talent in that game. And you without one of your key guys, and then lost another one of your key guys on the offensive side in that game. That certainly had an effect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Graf went down with an injury two shifts in, and then Lipkin got thrown out of the game. And you know, there was my first sign of my first power play. Like, we were scrambling, and then. I like how we competed and battled. You know, obviously we lost with 9 seconds left in overtime. Gauthier with the big time goal, Cutter doing what he does. But I thought we were pretty scrappy that game for losing Graf and Lipper. And you know, we had our chances and we played well. And you know, again, we have to find a way to win those games. And I think when we get to January and February, we'll find ways to win those games.
And then on the road at Northeastern, rallied back to get a draw there in the third period. Guy that got the goal for you previously at UNO, Davis Pennington, appears to be is going to be a big part of that blue line core for you.
Yeah, he's been really good. We've got some good transfers, just as we took last year. So the transfer portal is, you know, I use the phrase, it's the Wild West right now, and it's changed
open
things.
Season.
Sure. Yeah, it is, and you know, but you know, and a lot of guys complain about it, but like, to me, like I get that, you know, I don't love that. Sorry, I should say it differently. I don't love that guys used to have to transfer, have to sit a whole year. I thought that's a pretty stiff punishment, you know, cause sometimes it's just not the right fit or they don't like the school or whatever. I thought it was pretty stiff on the players. So I do like that fact now that they can move around and do have the opportunity to play. And you know, I just tell my assistants always, like, hey guys, like it's not going anywhere. We better embrace it and figure out how to use it to our advantage.
And to bring in Pennington, you mentioned from UNO, Cooper Moore from North Dakota, going a long way to kind of rebuild that decor for you this year. And knowing that you were going to be in an inexperienced position, at least for the Quinnipiac program, in goal from what you had with Peretz over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, we got a bunch. You know, we got Travis Traylor came in. I mean, he's been really good from Ohio State. Vinny's done well, BU transfer and goal. He's done really well.
Yes.
So you know, the transfers have acclimated. They're still not like all of them and all of our freshmen aren't all in on how we play. And honestly, like some of our returners aren't. You know, I don't know if it's a little bit of a hangover from the national championship, but you know, we just haven't played real hard Quinnipiac hockey yet. So we're working on that. I've used the phrase already a few times this year. Like every game we play is like three games. Every period's a different game. So we just got to get a little more consistent and play a hard 60. And that will come. You know, it's part of the maturation process. We have new leaders and new players that we're integrating. And some guys, some of our, even our returners are, like I said, have a little bit of a hangover from last year. But we'll figure it out. It's a good group. And, you know, we're going to have some success this year.
And most recently, we had a big breakout offensive game against AIC. And then this past weekend, a UNH team that I think maybe people have underestimated, and all you could handle there on both nights. The first night, a big third period to get some separation. And then the second night looked like a real battle all the way down the stretch in terms of a game that had a lot of momentum shifts and a lot of ebb and flow to it.
Yeah, UNH is really good. Coach Souza did a nice job. He and his staff have done a nice job. Like they're going to be good. They're going to win a lot of games this year. They got a really good core of young players there. Really nice freshman class that played really well against us both nights, and they had a lot of energy and competed hard. And we were again all over the map each night. It was just up and down, and that's where last year we sweep those games just because we're a little more of a veteran team. And but you got to give UNH credit. They battled and they found a way. And in overtime we challenged the goal for goalie interference, and I'll let you take a look at it on your own if you want. But it's, it is what it is. And, we lost in overtime. So that was disappointing.
One of the things that I'm sure you looked at coming in was as much as firepower as you had last year. I mean, just heartened by the fact that having Graf and Lipkin and Quillen all at the top of the score sheet for you again, that this team was going to be able to function, looked like it was going to be able to function at a pretty high level offensively. I'm sure that gave you some confidence coming in, to maybe, especially early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to get those three back. They had opportunities to leave, but they all decided to come back for one more year. We did lose. We could have had Skyler and Yanni come back. They made the decision to move on, which, mm-hmm. I supported, and they were ready to go. So it's an interesting, when you get five guys who have eligibility to return get offered NHL contracts, that's a crazy number. You have one in a year, it's a good year, So, but again, that's indicative of the season that we had. And if you're going to win and win at a high rate like that, it's the norm now with the NHL. They're going to come and come knocking on your door for your players, and you just have to kind of accept it and be prepared to have new guys come in to fill the spots.
Was a big part of your off season, being able to dispel or dissuade the guys from what they accomplished. You don't want to take away from them, but just to get that refocus, Rand, for this season, was that just a big part, I'm sure, the mentality and the mission and the focus of your coaching staff to begin a new year?
No, honestly, Bernie. Like I want them to embrace that win. Like it's a phenomenal event for them, and it's life-changing for them. So I didn't do any of that this summer, even in the fall. Like, I think just recently I brought it up for the first time, like, hey guys, it's time to move on. They know it. Listen, it's an elite group of high character individuals. Our character is so good this year, again, just like the past few years. Like they know it's time to move on, and we'll find a way.
Mm-hmm. And for this weekend, as you get ready, you got Maine and Ben Barrett's done a pretty nice job there in a short time of getting things turned around up there, and certainly a familiarity.
Yeah, Ben's done a really good job. He and his staff have been excellent. Bringing in another good recruiting class. The NATO brothers are gonna wreak some havoc on Hockey East this year, and they've got Breen back, and they got the goaltending. They play hard. I've always been impressed with Benny. I think he does a great job. So we're going to have our hands full, we'll have to be prepared. We had a great series with Maine last year, and we're looking forward to that tilt this weekend.
Absolutely. And Rand, thanks very much. We appreciate joining us. Always great to talk hockey with you, and look forward to talking again and seeing you around the rinks here during the 23-24 campaign.
Oh, thank you, Bernie. Thanks for having me on.
Coach Rand Pecknold, our guest here, joining us on the men's side this week on Inside ECAC Hockey. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the women's side this week by the head coach of the RPI Engineers, Brian Vines. Brian, welcome, and a welcoming start for your RPI Lady Engineers at 6-1-3.
Yeah, we've had quite the start to our year. I think probably from what I've heard, our best start record-wise since 05-06. So it's been a tough stretch of 10 games, but also an exciting stretch of 10 games.
Started off with a pair of games at home with RIT, played to a tie both nights. And then just to recount, you hosted Stonehill, new to Division I, did not give up a goal that weekend. And played through the first, amazingly through the first two weekends, gave up just two goals with the two shutouts, the 2-1-1 draws that you played the first two, and then had a chance to get out on the road to Bemidji. How important just to get out on the road in terms of the team coming together? Oftentimes, that's a pretty good thing for a team early in the season to kind of just have an opportunity to spend the time as a team and really focus on hockey as you did out at Bemidji.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's typically why we try and schedule those trips if we can in October, just for that team bonding and camaraderie, I think is really important, especially at the start of the year. And September's can be really, really busy for college student athletes, just with all the demands of academics starting up again and everything else. So it was nice to get off campus and spend some time together and continue to build those relationships. We've got a really veteran team this year as well, though. So I felt we handled the travel probably the best we have over the last few seasons, just in terms of that veteran experience. And they really treated it like a business trip at the end of the day. But Bemidji was you know, they're tough every year, and they were, you know, both games came right down to the wire.
Well, as a former defenseman and one of great note, and one we'll talk a little bit about your reputation as the blue line whisperer, if you will, with the success that you've had developing defensemen. I just can't even imagine just going through and researching and looking at your body of work here as I did to give up just four goals in your first six games. And then, of course, we'll bring it up to date with most recently against what you've done. But through those first six games, it's just remarkable. I thought I was looking at a World Cup soccer team.
we pride ourselves on being really hard to play against defensively and structured, taking away time and space when we don't have the puck and getting it back. And in the offensive side of the game, we're continuing to grow and develop. But you know, it's always got to be a staple of ours, and we've been really, really fortunate in my tenure here. And again, this year we have, third team all ECAC goalie, Amanda Rampato, coming back as a fifth year graduate student for us. So that experience as well, when your last line of defense, is Rampy back there, gives the team a lot of confidence. That especially early in the season, you can make some mistakes and she's going to have your back. And I thought, you know, this past weekend, I thought the team did a really good job for Rampy as well, giving her kind of that run support over our last two games.
I like that with the World Series starting. You can talk about run support. I like that reference. Yeah, just you're talking about the goaltender, and just some insight and perspective on what she has meant to the program. We're talking about Amanda Rampato, veteran presence there for you, and the numbers are just amazing. Through eight games, 1.69 goals against, 9.37 save percentage, and 5-1 just seems to be handling everything with great poise back there.
Yeah, I mean, she's the backbone of our team, and not just on the ice, but also off the ice. Her and Mara Wagner also returns as fifth year captains, and they have a previous season with wearing the C on their jersey as well. And so that experience, in terms of off the ice stuff and helping onboard our eight new players. We have seven freshmen and another graduate transfer as well. So she's been really, really important in getting them comfortable and, you know, in line with how we like to do things here and helping them get immersed in our culture.
Ellie Kaiser's your leading scorer with six goals. She's topping the score sheet in both goals and points. But really, Brian, the distribution and the balance up front is striking. The fact that you've got a half a dozen players that have got at least three goals this early in the season, it'll be a difficult team to defend against, or for a team to be able to focus on from a defensive standpoint when you have that kind of distribution.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, it's something we've been really working really hard on. It's been a real focus of ours at the start of the year, having all, four lines, be able to play 200 feet and really grow our games on the offensive side of it. But, we've got to roll four lines. I think that works best for us, just in terms of the energy that we need to play with. And then I think our freshmen have taken huge steps in a really early going. You see them out there every week in open ice and working on their, skill development and all those types of things. They're up in our coaches' offices watching video. And so that gives you a great balance from top to bottom, because, we've been dressing basically three freshman forwards in some pretty prominent roles early in our season. And I think that's also a testament to our leadership group. This is the most veteran team that I've coached in my tenure here. And, you know, I think we have 5 graduate students. We have, you know, 9 seniors as well. So they've really been impactful on our younger players and also the balance throughout our lineup.
How significant has it been for you, and once again, your reputation and working with blue liners, to be able to count on some of those veteran defensemen that have been now, that have been part of your system, been acclimated, and know what to expect and know what is required of them night in and night out to bring some of those younger players along?
Yeah, I mean, we've got 2 freshmen D that have played a lot of minutes in all situations right at the start of the year. And I don't think you can do that if you can't pair them up with a veteran. And we've got a bunch of them. We're actually missing one of them right now. She's still recovering from an injury she sustained last January. And we're hoping to get Magdalena back within the next few weeks. But in the meantime, I mean, Taylor Ziarini, MJ Alexander, they've been, and Taylor Larson, our assistant captain, have just been a really steadying force back there. And, you know, and just their communication, I think, on the ice really, really gives confidence to some of our younger players. And we really look at them as an extension of our coaching staff as we're developing, you know, some pretty talented young blue liners.
And into league play, and that is not to be discounted in any way when you think about the ECAC, and I want to get your insight on that. This past weekend, a couple of really tight, dramatic overtime wins. You beat Dartmouth 5-4, and a game that you had a timely power play goal was loomed large for you, and had a 5-4 victory there to start the weekend, and then followed that up with a 5-4 victory over Harvard. When you look at what you're going to face in the league, it's just amazing to me when I look at the ECAC women's side here year in and year out, to just how tough, I mean, quantity and quality of that league is just remarkable. You've been around that circuit now in your 7th year, and you've seen this league really emerge as very prominent on the national scene.
Yeah, I think 7 teams are ranked right now, and we're going to play 2 of them this weekend. But right. our focus is really always on us and the things that are under our control. But it's a special league, and it's just gotten better and better every year that I've been in it. And I think with this COVID year that we're still working through, I mean, you have 5th-year All-Americans coming back as well, and that just makes the product and the game just unbelievably exciting. I mean, the talent level and the skill level in our league is second to none. And I think a big thing that might be overlooked sometimes from an ECAC perspective is just the depth in our league as well. I mean, we definitely have a lot of ranked teams with national level, but I mean, you can't take a night off in our league. You have to be extremely well prepared, and you've got to be willing to put together 60, 65 minutes each game if you're going to give yourself a chance. So we're excited for the challenge this weekend with Colgate and Cornell coming in to our rink, and see kind of where we stack up against them.
Should do a lot for the confidence level of the team, you know, battle tested on what you did last weekend. You got a very late one to tie that game against Dartmouth and get it to overtime.
Yeah. I mean, a 6-on-5 goal and a freshman, Andy Trinkova, just, you know, had an unbelievable shot from the blue line with traffic. And then, like we talked about earlier, it's something that we've been really focused on. And, you know, it was interesting in that game. I think we went down 3-0 pretty early and then battled our way back in the second period. And I thought that really spoke to the veteran presence we have on our roster. They, you know, going into the first intermission, there wasn't any panic. I thought our upperclassmen were, you know, felt that we could claw our way back, and we just basically need to stay out of the penalty box. I think another lesson we learned against Harvard in the first period as well. I think we had 9 minutes of penalty right. kill time and put ourselves back. But I really like the resiliency and the response that we got from our team to see them not be fazed by that and stick with the game plan and the process and buy into the adjustments that we had to make going into the second period. I thought, you know, we can definitely build confidence from that moving forward.
Well, no doubt you handle and be able to manage adversity, which I'm sure you know you'll see plenty of when you're playing in the league night in and night out. And now your 7th season, you mentioned about COVID was sprinkled in there, mm-hmm. and the last 2 years, I mean, with the 6 victories, you've almost matched the win totals of the last 2 years when you won 9 each year. As you perceive the program at this point, Every coach has a vision. They look at things when they take over a program to put a program in their own image. How do you see it now in your seventh year in terms of the steps that you seem to be taking? It certainly looms large and is reflected in the record here in the early going with what you've done non-conference to get ready for the rigors of the ECAC.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been, it's been a process trying to build this thing. And we definitely took a step back through COVID like everybody else did. Our situation was a little unique in terms of not being able to practice and train on campus. But I thought because our culture has grown so much over my time, I thought our players handled that as best anybody could in a really, really difficult situation. They found opportunities off of campus to continue their training, and some, took a virtual class load so they could be closer to home and play and everything else. But as we're building, I think, culture is always the foundation and of your program and your future success. And the vision's always been the same, with RPI. We want to be the first in our program's history to raise a banner. And we're playing in, like we talked about, the toughest league in the country. So you got to have patience with that. I think you have to bring the right people on board. And I love our group. I think more importantly, we've got unbelievable character and wonderful people who want to be about something bigger than themselves. And when you have that, good things can happen. And we're excited about the start. But as we know, we've got, a really strong slate of league games coming up here at home. We've got family weekend coming up this weekend as well. So we'll have parents and families in the stands. And we just want to keep, getting that 1% better every day. I think that's been our focus all along is the controllables and, bringing the right attitude and effort to the rink every day.
And you coming from the men's side, now, once again, your seventh year as the head coach of the RPI women, you spent the previous eight on the staff with Seth Appert, and the body of work with your defenseman is listed there with five All-Americans, six guys in the NHL, eight were all ECAC, a couple of rookies of the year, a couple of players of the year, all the guys that you work with. As you look at it from that area of the game, whether it be the men's or the women's side, Brian, I'm intrigued to get your answer on this. What do you think the most important element it is when you're training, teaching, and schooling and bringing along defensemen? What do you really try to get across? What's your, like, maybe your main point of emphasis to make them better and to have them grasp the game?
Yeah, I think it's details and habits are what it always comes down to. And you can never get good enough at the fundamentals. And sometimes that's boring, unfortunately. But if you bring the right players in that are driven and want to get better and want to be coached and want to be out on the ice like they were yesterday morning at 7 in the morning, working with Ben Murphy, my assistant, Tara Connolly, my other assistant, and Jamie Hazelton, then you're going to grow and you're going to develop. And I think that's been the real key is first you get the right people on the bus that want to get better. And then you go to work at the fundamentals and the habits and details of whatever your position and role is within the team that can help you be better. And I think the big thing with the D is I don't think they realize when they get to the Division I level just how simple you really have to make the game. Our young players can complicate it, and they're looking, 100 feet down the ice when they've got a really good 5-foot option right in front of them. So it's really, a lot of video work and talking about decision making and what we're trying to accomplish. But 99% of the game is played without the puck, and we spend a lot of time working on that. And that's, things like footwork and stick position and kind of the little habits and details that you want to hammer home to where they're not thinking about them in a game. Something as simple as stopping on a puck or how you approach somebody below your goal line and you're trying to flush them away from your net and close and pin. I think it's repetitions and it's hard work. And I think when you have the people that want to buy into that, they grow and develop. And I think we've seen that, on my time on the men's side and the women's side.
Muscular memory is what it's all about, right? Be able to establish that and put that in place. When you were hired, you had not had experience on the women's side, had not had experience head coaching, and came in and had the opportunity. I'm always also intrigued with guys that spent time coaching on the men's and women's side. I remember when Ben Smith became the women's national team head coach back 25 years ago in that first gold medal, and he absolutely just loved it. He loved the experience. locker room talking to me about he liked the fact that there was less physicality, more skill, more creativity in the game as far as, you know, puck moving and being able to make plays and so forth. Your opinion now as someone that spent a considerable amount of time on both sides and qualified to give the answer about the coaching on the men's side versus the women's side.
You know, honestly, I think the two sides have really, you know, they've come closer and closer together. I mean, our game is extremely physical. You know, and I think on the men's side, they've really eliminated the open ice blind side hits.
Yep.
That have led to, you know, concussions and health problems on the men's side. But I think they're really the two sides have really merged. And I think that's what makes hockey, you know, special. I think the games are very similar and growing more and more. So, I mean, just in terms of the, you know, the skill level has never been higher. I think on, you know, if you're just watching an NHL game or a men's college hockey game, and I'd say the same for the women's side, probably the biggest difference is, you know, I think on the men's side, you might see Connor McDavid leave after his freshman year. And on the women's side, as our pro game is starting to grow and everything else, you might see that, but typically you're going to have your players for all 4 years. And then with the COVID year now, you're going to have them for 5 years. And I think that's special. You know, that's a special part of our women's game because there's so much that goes into the college hockey experience other than just, you know, games and skill development and travel. I think it's the relationships that you form. And, you know, the longer you're in one place and committed in one place, I think, you know, it's those experiences that really change your life. At least they did for me. And I think that's what I've really, really enjoyed about the women's side is, you know, the buy-in, not just into the hockey and all the things that entails, but also the academic side of it, the social side of it, the community side. I mean, we had a two-time hockey humanitarian finalist just graduate from our program in Hannah Price, and she's playing pro hockey over in Italy right now. And, you know, I think like her experience here, I think speaks to what makes college hockey and women's college hockey so special.
Well, indeed the case, very well said, and the way that the two games have come closer together. Well, when you were hired, they talked about interim head coach, Brian Vines. I think you stayed. The interim was removed a long time ago here now in your seventh season and ready for new challenges this weekend, Brian. And wish you luck moving forward, hosting Colgate and Cornell at Houston Fieldhouse this weekend and beyond. And hope to talk to you again here down the road with Inside ECAC Hockey. All the best.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Bernie.
Brian Vines, our guest, head coach of the Lady Engineers at RPI here this week on Inside ECAC Hockey.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey podcast with Bernie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.